it's up to you and me to shine a guiding light and lead the way. United by our cause, we have the power to pursue what we believe. We'll achieve the realization of our dreams.
Hello and welcome to this edition of New Horizons. I'm Vaughan Bennison. As promised last week, some updates on Blind Citizens Australia. There's been a lot happening, so this is a program you're not going to want to miss. Firstly, we're going to hear from John Simpson, who's going to give us the rundown. Welcome back to the program.
Hi, Vaughan. Good to be with you.
Now, a lot's been happening over the last few weeks. We've talked on New Horizons for the last couple of weeks about the expression of interest for the top job at BCA. That's now been filled. Do you want to give us some detail?
Yeah, sure, Vaughan. At its most recent board meeting, the board was very pleased to confirm the appointment of one Emma Bennison as our incoming executive officer, a decision that was really greatly received by everyone, Vaughan.
John, I'm interested in the title of the role. Now, Leah Van Poppel, of course, who unfortunately left BCA last year, was the CEO. Can you just go into some brief detail as to why the position is now executive officer?
Yes, look, the feeling of the board, Vaughan, was that the title of CEO was in fact misleading and that in fact the position prior to that had always been as executive officer, and there was a strain of thought among the directors that we should return to that, because as a chief executive officer, that implies that you lead an executive team. And of course, the BCA staff structure doesn't include other executive level positions. Mm. That having been said, I think it's fair to say that the matter is still under consideration by the board. And we'll certainly tidy that up before Emma commences her duties with us, which is in about the third week in February. So we'll certainly be looking at the issue of title again and tidying that one up before Emma joins us on a full-time basis.
And, of course, Emma is, or was, president of Blind Citizens Australia. There's a few people who've done this before, haven't they? David Blyth and Bill Jolly, to name a couple.
Yes, but, of course, as soon as Emma accepts has accepted the position of executive officer, she's got to resign from the position of presidency, and we'll come to that in a minute. But, yes, you're right. Both David Blyth and Bill Jolly have filled both roles in the past.
Mm. Now, of course, that does, as you say, present a few issues for the board.
A little bit like one of those puzzles, Vaughan. The moment you move one square, you've got to move all the other ones to take up the slack.
Board positions.
Yeah, so at its meeting last Thursday night, the board formally accepted the resignation of Emma as president, and then asked me to take on that role as a casual vacancy. So I'll serve as president for the organisation through to the end of what would have been Emma's term. So that's till the 2018 annual general meeting. That then created a vacancy for a vice president. And Lynn Davis has put her hand up and been appointed by the board to fill that position. And then, of course, beyond that, Emma's resignation from the board created a casual vacancy, and in fact we had two other casual vacancies to fill, so we addressed those at the meeting as well.
Now, we've heard from Lynn Davis before in the program, but are you in a position to give us just a brief biography?
Yeah, sure. Lynn actually returned to the board at the 2015 annual general meeting after an absence of some years. Lynn has a distinguished academic career in the social sciences area, and then worked for a number of years in the policy and advocacy unit within Vision Australia, where she managed the Client Representative Council and undertook a number of other policy-related roles. So she brings not only vast experience of BCA, but also wider experience of advocacy and policy development to the board. She's been contributing in that regard over the last 12 months, and I'm delighted to have her as vice president now to bring her experience to the governance side of things as well.
Mm. You've got three additional board members, at least one of whom is returning. Who are they?
Yes, another blast from the past, as it were. Fiona Woods will be known to many of our listeners. Fiona was a board member during the 1990s and early 2000s, and she has accepted appointment to fill a casual vacancy. In fact, that one to fill the vacancy created when Barry Chapman resigned from the board last year. And I know you spoke to Barry at that time.
Mm.
Fiona lives in the Blue Mountains in New South Wales. Her professional background is in the law. But more recently, she's been involved with family duties. And now that the family's growing up, she's very keen to get back involved with BCA and policy development and so forth.
And she was for quite some time the president of the National Women's Branch as well, I understand.
That's correct, yes, yes.
Mm. And who else have we got?
So a newcomer fills the next position, a fellow by the name of James Manders. James is from Canberra. He has a distinguished background in the financial world, investment consultancy and that sort of area, and also wide experience in corporate governance. James is totally blind, and although he hasn't been actively involved with BCA for very long, he's one of those people who has made a really strong commitment to the disability sector and blindness services in general. He's provided consultancy and support for Guide Dogs Australia. He's been involved with the advisory process around the National Disability Insurance Agency, and has a very strong commitment to improving employment opportunities for blind and vision impaired people.
Mm.
The third one is a young lady whose name will be known to the sporting listeners among us, and that's Prue Watt. And Prue, of course, has represented Australia on four occasions at the Paralympics as a swimmer, retired from swimming after the recent Rio Paralympic Games, has again done a vast amount of community work, has been an Australia Day ambassador for something like 15 years, and although she's what we would consider one of the younger members of the board, brings a good deal of experience, and most particularly brings the or strengthens the voice of our younger members at the board table.
Which, of course, is really important. As we'll all know from conventions past, the younger people often feel like some of the issues that we discuss don't cover them. So it'll be good to have some of the issues brought to the table that are particular to younger people.
And we're particularly keen to develop programs and activities for younger members, particularly in the lead up to what is a national convention year, so that we have a program at that time that will really attract the interest of that age group.
Now, John, before we go, there's one more thing we have to cover. We did talk some time ago about the National Policy Council. At that time, you were looking for new members. Those members have all been found now. Who are they?
Yes, well, pretty much all of those positions have now been filled. Of course, a number of them were filled through the election process around the annual general meeting, and they included the nomination and appointment of Crystal Malcolm to represent members in New South Wales, Justin Simpson, who represents the ACT membership, Anne-Marie Harris, who represents Victorians, Doug McGinn, who represents Tasmanians, and Greg Madsen, who represents the Western Australian members. What that meant was that there were two state representative positions where people hadn't put their hand up at the time of nominations. And at our meeting last night, we were delighted to add to that number Rowena Dowling to represent the Queensland membership, and Jodie Holbach to represent the members in South Australia. In addition to that, Vaughan, the board has the capacity to appoint or to co-opt up to two additional members to the NPC. And we were delighted to recognise the strong policy work that Martin Stewart has done over recent times with the organisation. And we've asked Martin to take up one of those two co-options. So he'll become an ongoing member of the National Policy Council up until the next annual general meeting. Of course, co-option positions are filled on an annual basis. So he'll serve until to the next AGM. So we'll be meeting with the NPC representatives as part of a teleconference when the board has a face-to-face meeting in February, and at that point we'll actually sort out the actual chairmanship and appoint the second of the directors to complete the complement of the National Policy Council.
That sounds like it's going to be a really good advisory board. There's a lot of people who will be well known to many New Horizons listeners, and also some new people that that certainly I haven't heard of. So it sounds like it's going to be really good.
Yes, I think having the variety from people such as Greg Madsen and his many years of experience through to people like Justin Simpson and Anne-Marie Harris, who have not had a high profile in regard to policy within the organisation. And, of course, Crystal Malcolm is the Executive Officer of Blind Citizens New South Wales, and that strengthens the ties that we're building with that organisation.
Now, speaking of those ties, are we in a position yet to have any more detail on the proposed merger?
Only so far as to say that the board is still looking at that from BCA's point of view, and the management committee from the point of view of Blind Citizens New South Wales. We do have a joint working party that that meets, and in fact that group is working on a draft memorandum of understanding, which we're hoping to have finalised in time for its formal adoption at our February face-to-face board meeting and the similar meeting of Blind Citizens New South Wales.
John Simpson, thanks once again for joining us on the program.
It's a pleasure.
John Simpson there, newly elected president of Blind Citizens Australia. Now, just before we go, I'd like to tell you about a recent happening in our household. My wife was watching a program on Netflix. Now, as you know, Netflix has audio description, unlike the ABC and Australian Commercial Television. The last episode of the series was not audio described, so she got onto the Netflix website, and they have an online chat process there, which is completely accessible. And she spoke to a person in the US who works with Netflix and had a discussion about the audio description. And within about 36 hours, the last episode was audio described. So that's a good indicator of self-advocacy and how well it can work. Also, if you've got any concerns about the audio description on Netflix, get in touch with them. They understand the process and they're obviously well aware of the needs of blind and vision impaired people. Blind Citizens Australia can be contacted by calling 1-800-033-660, 1-800-033-660, or by email on bca@bca.org.au. Blind Citizens Australia does rely on donations from the community, so if you'd like to donate, there are a myriad of ways in which you may do so. Have a look at the website if you'd like to know more, but you can do it via credit card, you can do it through PayPal, or you can do it by cheque or money order. Of course, if you'd like to visit the office, you can do so. It's in Ross House, which is in Flinders Lane. Call the office, they'll give you all the details. I'm Vaughan Bennison, it's been a pleasure to have your company over the last little while. Do take care until next we meet, when we'll look to new horizons.
We'll achieve the realization of our dreams. Of our dreams.